So we're going to start back where we were. We're not going to go through everything we did. But I do want to share a couple things with you that we hit this morning. And the first one is our Bible reading for the day. And so in Exodus 15, verse 22, it says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." So, Dave, can you bring up that little chart again that we looked at right at the start? There we go. In your bulletins this morning, you had this little chart, and very important, you kind of go over that because it shows you what you can control and what you cannot control. What you can control is your attitude, one of those things in that center circle that you can control. When you lose your temper, what's wrong? You're not controlling what you are responsible to control. When we say, "She made me so mad that I lost my temper," what are we saying she just did? She took control of my emotions. Folks, the only one that should be in control of your emotions is the Lord. And if the Lord is in charge of your emotions, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, or self-control. If you don't have that, please look at the list and realize you are not walking in the Spirit. You're out of the Spirit. We have to have the Spirit in control. Don't let somebody else take over your life. Don't even try to control your life yourself. Because the Bible says it's not in man that walks to direct their steps. Believe it or not, what God wants to do and what we saw this morning, God wants to take control of your life. He wants you to submit to Him to the point He's living His life through you. And once that happens, people aren't going to be able to get to you so much. Now, none of us live that perfectly. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I never get angry. But when I do, I very quickly realize I'm letting the flesh rule me. When somebody cuts me off in traffic and I feel the temperature going up in the car, that's because the flesh is in control. Folks, we have to learn these things because if we don't know who's in control, then it's Satan or somebody else. It's your flesh. It's not the Spirit. And so I want to go through a few things with you today. When you get bitterness in your life, and we all have from time to time got a bitter spirit, something hit us wrong, we didn't like it, we don't know why God allowed it, and especially not now. Why now? When that happens, what do? How do you get rid of the bitterness? In Exodus 15, verse 24, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" Folks, there's nothing around. You're in the middle of the desert, and the only water is bitter water. You can't drink it. When that happens, who are we supposed to turn to? Would you turn to Joe Biden and say, "Joe, what's going on?" Or when Trump gets elected, if he does, are you going to say, "Mr. Trump, what's going on? It's still not right." Or are you going to turn to the Lord? Folks, we've all got that ability to turn to the Lord. He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. I want to show you the difference 3 days can make. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, went through the Red Sea, as soon as they got on the other side of the Red Sea, Moses taught them a song. And they sang a beautiful song of praise to the Lord because guess what? We're no longer slaves. Guess what else? The Egyptian army is absolutely destroyed. Guess what else? We got all the riches of Egypt. Man, I feel like singing. And they did. In Exodus 15:1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Man, it's a beautiful song. But what are they singing 3 days later? Exodus 15:24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? They had just seen the greatest miracles that they had ever seen in their life. And 3 days later, they're saying, God, you let us down. They kept saying all the way through the wilderness, 40 years, they kept saying, why has God brought us into the wilderness to have us die with our children? Folks, he never brought them into the wilderness to have them die with their children. He said, I'm taking you through the wilderness. We're going to the promised land. But they didn't believe him. A lack of faith, doubting the word of God, doubting the promises of God, will land you up into a land of murmuring and complaining and grumping and grouching about life. I figure on the outside, 20 years left on this earth. After this 20-year little trip that I've got left, I'm never going to have trouble again. Can I put up with some problems for 20 more years? If I know just the other side of that, it's going to be perfect forever. Folks, that's the mindset we have to have. Yes, on this earth, I'm going to have trouble, but I'm not going to have trouble all through eternity. Bitterness. When something happens in your life or mine that we don't like, and it's going to happen. You can either get better by trusting the Lord, or you can get bitter through your doubt. It's your choice. I don't know about you, I'd like to get better. I'd like to be more like the Lord and less like this world. When people in this world get upset, they throw a temper tantrum, they throw their papers like I did this morning. I wanted to thank Mark. Mark picked them up. When I came back in, he had them all in a little stack for me. I want to tell you, that's wonderful. There was a young man I heard about who came in to see his professor after an examination. And he said to the professor, I don't think you graded me fairly. And the professor said, what's the problem? He says, you gave me a zero. Do you know that's the lowest grade anybody can possibly get? It's not fair. And the professor said, it's true, it's not fair. But that's as low a grade as I could give you. He didn't even earn a zero. Folks, you can blame the professor when the Lord does something you don't agree with. Believe it or not, he's doing it for your good. He wants to bless you. He's taking you home eventually if you truly are a born-again Christian. This is not the end of the trail. You are going to have some trouble. But each time we have trouble, I want to tell you, God's up to something. This isn't the end. God's going to use this to bless you. Again, as I quoted earlier, Romans 8:28. He's going to bless you if you do two things. This is so important for you to remember. We believe God works all things together for the good of those that love him. So that's number one. To the good of those who are the called according to his purpose. Number two, are you living as if you have a call on your life? Because you do. God has work for you to do just like he has work for me to do. Are you busy about it? Are you rejoicing in it? Because he has things he wants you to do. There was a preacher moving into a new church, and a lot of the people came out when he was moving in and helped him move all of his stuff into the place he was going to live. But there was one man that didn't come to help. And he came the next day to church when everybody was coming to church, and he said, Pastor, maybe you noticed, I didn't come to help you move in. But I'll guarantee you this, when you move out, I'll be there. Folks, there are people in every church that have a negative attitude toward everything. I don't know what puts them into that downy, dandy downer all the time, but they're just upset about everything. They've got a negative attitude. They murmur and complain all the time. It ought not to be that way. In Philippians 2:14, it says, do all things without murmuring. Murmuring or disputing, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Why? Because everything that happens in your life comes through God's hand before it gets to you. Do you understand? Nothing can happen to you. Nobody can say anything to you unless the Lord allows it. Things don't just happen. People don't just say things on their own. God is in charge. And so if it happens, we have to say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? In James chapter 5, verse 9, it says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brother and the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. What happened to Job? What did he lose? Anybody remember what happened to Job? He lost everything. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost everything. He lost 10 children all in one day. What was the end result? Because Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What was the end of Job's life like? God doubled everything he had. He gave him 10 more children. And people say, wait a minute. He doubled the cattle. He doubled the wealth. He doubled the health. But why did he only give him 10 more? Because he still had 10 children. They were in heaven. And when he got 10 more, now he's got 20 children. When we lose children, they aren't gone. They're gone to heaven, but they're not gone. And so the cattle, when you lose a head of cattle, it's gone. It's not coming back. It doesn't live anymore. You lose a dog, it's gone. You lose a cat, it's gone. But you lose a person, they're still alive, someplace. And we hope it's heaven. In this case, it was, because Job was constantly sacrificing for his children. So when people begin to murmur against their leaders, do you understand they're also murmuring against God? When they said, Moses, what are you going to do? Moses was already following God. Every day, Moses watched the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. If it moved, Moses got everybody ready and everybody moved with it. You can't get any better direction than that. Today, sometimes we have to pray, Lord, what would you have me do? They didn't have to do that. Every time the Lord wanted to move, the pillar of cloud started to go down the trail, and everybody just followed. Moses was right in the middle of what God wanted him to do. And so even in the middle of what God wants you to do, you have to realize there's going to be trouble. It's not always easy to walk with God. But the result is, when the test came, and I mentioned earlier today, God is unlike any other teacher you're ever going to have. Every teacher I had in grade school, junior high, and high school, and college, they taught me the lessons, and then they gave me a test. Do you know God does it exactly the opposite? He gives you a test to see where your heart is for you, and then he begins to teach you how to get this right. It's exactly the opposite. And so once you understand that, if you fail the test, what do? Lord, how can I pass it next time? I don't want to lose my temper next time. I don't want to say something I ought not to say. What do? And he'll give you the guidance that you need. When people become bitter, they think it's the solution, but it's not. All that does is drag the problem out. You can stay in the same problem for 30 years if you want to. How many years did the children of Israel wander in a desert? 40 years. The whole generation never got over murmuring and complaining. And as soon as they were all gone, God took the next generation right into the land. Within just months after that generation was gone, God took the children that they said God had brought out to die in the desert, He took them into the promised land. Once we get our hearts right with God, God begins to move. What's His goal for you? His goal for you in this life is Christ-likeness. When you submit to His leadership, everything that happens moves you towards that direction. But when you allow your heart to get bitter, you're working against the plan of God, and you're going to hold up the whole process. The choice is yours, but you don't have to stay there. Moses, instead of murmuring in Exodus 16, verse 8, Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to your full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against Him." And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. All Moses is a little teeny cog in the machine of God's machinery that's working for the good of the nation. And when you go against the little guy, because Moses is just a man just like everybody else, when you say, "My problem is your fault," you're giving far too much credit to your leader. He can't get you all that trouble. The Lord's allowing the trouble. Don't complain against people. Turn to the Lord. The people thought the problem is there's no good water. That wasn't the problem. The problem, there's no faith. All there is doubt. All there is, God said, "I'm bringing you out of Egypt. I'm taking you to the promised land." If the people believe that, okay, I don't have water. Where do I turn? I turn to the Lord. "Lord, you promised me you're going to take me to the promised land. I've got a problem. How do I handle it?" He'd give you the answer. That's all Moses did. Moses didn't know the answer. The Lord already had the answer. Let me ask you, if there was a tree, and it was a big tree probably, how many years does it take for a pretty good-sized tree to grow? 70 to 80, 90 years? The Lord had put the answer at that bitter spring probably 80 years in advance, knowing the children of Israel are coming to this problem. He's got the solution. Every problem you and I have, God has the solution already done. All we have to do is turn to Him and ask Him. He'll either heal the problem, correct the problem, or He'll give us the grace to go through the problem. He says His grace is sufficient. Do you think God's grace is sufficient? It is. It's sufficient for every single need. They were complaining right after they had seen again one of the greatest miracles of their life. We need to receive God's unfailing blessings in our lives. Every trial has a blessing hidden in it. If we simply stay faithful, if we keep looking to our Lord instead of to men for the answer, the Lord has the answer. God brought them to the place of bitterness. How did they get to Marah? God directed them right there. How are you going to get to your time of Marah, bitterness? God's going to take you right there. What's the purpose? It's to show you where your heart is. If the only way you can stay happy is if everything is perfect in your life, how many days are you going to be happy in your life? Very, very few. I can think of only a couple days in my whole life where everything was almost perfect. Almost every other day has all kinds of trouble in it. The Lord wants you to learn how to be content in any and every situation. Godliness with contentment, the Bible says, is great gain. Once you can be in a terrible situation and still be at peace with your God, you have matured in your faith. You're making wonderful progress. God did not bring them out of Egypt just to destroy them with no water. They had the promise of God. You've got the promise of God that God is going to get you safely to heaven. Every problem that happens on the way there, God already knows about it. It doesn't surprise God when a year and a half ago this muscle went out of my shoulder. He knew that. He knew it was going to happen. He knew the answer. This is not going to get better. When 15 years ago, I got in a car accident, a lady pulled right in front of me as I was coming through the road, and my head went up and hit the dash, and I got arthritis in the neck. Did God know that's never going to get better? Absolutely. What's the lesson? I don't have to have perfect health to have a heart full of love for the Lord, trust in the Lord, because another 20 years, the neck's going to be perfect. The arm's going to be perfect too. And whatever your problem is, if you can realize it's temporary, God has a purpose. He's moving you towards Christ's likeness. It doesn't just happen. It says in Exodus 15:25, "And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." That word, prove them, it's a test. He's showing them what's in their heart. When you get into a problem, and all you can see is the problem, and you can't see how any good could ever come out of this, you can't see how God could ever solve this, you're going to murmur and you're going to complain. You're going to think, all this is against me. But it's not. If you can learn to trust God, Lehman Strauss said, anyone can murmur, but the trusting child of God will turn to his heavenly Father in prayer. I don't know about you, but I would much rather turn to my Heavenly Father, commit the problem to Him. He says, cast all your care on Him because He does care for you. Now, either you believe that or you don't. I just want to tell you, the Lord loves you more than you love yourself. He loves you more than your mom and dad did. He loves you more than your wife or your husband do. He wants the best for you. And He knows that sometimes we need trouble. I don't say that lightly because I've had some pretty hard times from time to time, but I've grown through it all. And you can too. We don't have to get bitter. Jeremiah 33:3, this is a verse, if you need a memory verse, this is a great one. "Call to me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." When Moses called to God, Moses probably saw the tree there. I mean, it was right there. But he didn't know what it was for. Sometimes you don't know why you're in trouble and you don't know the answer. But God does. He knows exactly why He's allowed this into your life, and He knows exactly what the answer to the problem is. Like I mentioned, sometimes He'll just take the problem right away. Sometimes He'll give you the grace to go through it and rejoice in it. We don't need perfect health to rejoice. Again, Exodus 15:25. "He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." Why do you think there was a tree there? What does that tree represent? Do you understand this is another picture of Christ in the Old Testament? Christ died on a tree. This is a picture that if you'll trust the Lord, He's got the solution. In James chapter 4, verse 1. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because why? You ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust." But suppose instead of asking to consume it on your lust, you would really ask the Lord, Lord, I don't understand why I'm in this problem, but I'm going to trust you in this situation. Show me what I should do. Show me what to say and show me what not to say. If any man lacks wisdom, what does James 1:5 say? Ask God. He gives liberty to all men. He won't upbraid you and say you're stupid because you don't know. He's going to give you what you need. In Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's there all the time. He wants to help you. He's not withholding the answer. He's waiting for you to turn to him in trust. Why not turn right away? Why wait 3 weeks, angry and simmering and just burning up? Why not right away? Lord, this thing really bugs me, but I don't have the answer. Lord, I believe you do. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 20, another great verse to memorize. Now to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Folks, he's got the answer. He loves to bless his children. You need to call out to the Lord. When Moses cut down the tree and he threw it in the water turned sweet. The same thing will happen to you when you turn to Christ and his resurrection and death on that cross and resurrection, trusting in it. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. On the cross of Calvary, God took all my sin, all your sin, paid for it all, and became your Lord and Savior when you received him. Folks, we've got it made. It was on the cross that Jesus took the bitterness of hell away from you. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to burn in the fire. I'm not going to be separated from God. I'm going to be with the Lord. Jesus accomplished that on the cross. It was on the cross that Jesus took away the bitterness of all my failures. All my failures are going to be cast into the sea. As far as the east is from the west, I'm never going to have to answer for those failures. They're gone. And I praise God for it. On the cross, Jesus took away all my guilt for all the sins I've ever done, and they're gone. Folks, they're not coming back. All the sins I'm going to do the rest of my life, it's all paid for. It's all because of what Jesus did on the tree. One man said, when trouble comes into your life, don't throw in the towel, throw in the tree. Think about the cross. Jesus bore your burden. He's asking you to bear some of the burden for his glory. When people see you and they see you're going into a real time of testing and trouble, but they see you praising God in it, they're going to say, what kind of faith is that? Where do they get that from? And the answer is we get it from the Spirit of God. He fills us with love and joy and peace no matter what's going on. People need to see that. They don't need to see our bitterness. In Exodus 15, verse 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. But that does not mean you're going to go through life with no trouble at all. He may not bring those diseases, but you're going to have other trouble from time to time. But the Lord says, take heart. He's overcome the world. So God can change your dry wilderness into a green meadow. He can take away your thirst and fill you with the water of life. When we get to heaven, one of the greatest treasures you're going to get is you and I get to drink from the life of the water of life. Folks, that's a wonderful thing. Exodus 15:25 again. He, Moses, cried unto the Lord, And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. Our Lord can take your most grievous problems and make them sweet to you. Fanny Crosby, some of you love to sing her songs. Almost every song she talks about seeing the Lord one day. But Fanny Crosby was blind almost all of her life, and she rejoiced in her blindness. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh that wasn't going to go away. The Lord told him, I'm not taking it away. And Paul said, I rejoice in my thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. That helps us to know that we too can do the same thing. We're going to skip down to Exodus 15:27. After spending 3 days at Marah, a place of bitterness, it says they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. How many wells were there? 12. One for each of the 12 tribes. Do you think maybe God had this planned out in advance? Not only were there 12 wells, but how many trees were there? 70 trees. One for every of 70 elders of the nation of Israel. I think God had a plan. Marah was just a stop on the way to Elim. And your troubles, if you'll trust the Lord, are just a step on the way to the next blessing. We get blessing after blessing. Nancy had us sing, count your many blessings. Everybody in this room right now, I'm sure you've got several problems that you could probably put on two hands. Maybe you'd have to use your 10 toes too, I don't know. But we have got problems, everybody in this room. But how many blessings have you got just today? Anybody here miss lunch today? Anybody miss supper? Anybody miss breakfast? Anybody miss sleeping in a nice house or a room someplace where you got a nice bed? Anybody sleep outside last night? Folks, we've got blessing after blessing after blessing. We can't count them all. I mentioned the other day, I was sitting in at an angle where the sun was over my arm here, and all at once this little vein started pumping, and every time it pumped, the shadow moved. And I thought, I never even think about that. I don't think about breathing. It just happens. God takes care of all that. I don't think about my heart. It just amazed me. I thought, whoa, look at that. God takes care of all of that. Those are the main things. Those are the most important things. If he can take care of all that, he can take care of every trouble that you have. They were 3 days at Marah. They were 15 days at Elim. You're going to have a few days of trouble in this life. Maybe some are going to have more than others. But we don't have to compare ourselves to somebody else. Dr. Vance Havner once said, you'll find when Jesus is all you have, he's all you need, and he'll be all you want. Folks, that relationship with Christ is the most important relationship you have. It's more important than how am I getting along with my wife or my husband. It's more important than how am I getting along with my kids today or how are my kids doing with dad and mom. It's more important than your sports. It's more important than your physical body. It's the most important thing you have. How's it doing today? Are you rejoicing in him? Are you giving him thanks for the blessings that he's given you? There's a story about an old United Methodist preacher named Uncle Buddy Robinson. He was always known for his unusual candor and his wit. One day he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, Roy, I've got some bad news for you. He says, what's that, doc? He says, I got to tell you, you've got sugar. He said, whoa, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the doctor said, didn't you understand what I said? You've got sugar. He said, yes, I understood what you said. I always wanted to be sweeter. And now the Lord's given me sugar. Folks, we can rejoice in the illnesses of life. God gives them to us. Not everyone is pleasant. Not everyone is the best thing you want. But God will use that if you'll turn to Him and praise Him. If you'll ask Him, Lord, what's the next thing you want? In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Lord says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. When the Lord said that in Jeremiah to the children of Israel, what was about to happen to them? They were going into captivity. There were going to be parents that were going to die. There were going to be children that were going to die very shortly. But God says that's not the end of the story. I'm allowing this because I'm going to restore you. When the Lord allows trouble in our lives, that's not the end of the story. God will bring us to our times in Elim. George Mueller, many of you know, was a missionary and a man who started orphanage after orphanage in England back in the 1800s. And he was relating to a friend some of the difficulties he had contending just to get food for all the orphans. He had, I think, 70 or 80 orphanages with about 100 kids in each one. He didn't have any funds to deal with. Every day he turned to the Lord in prayer, asking Him to supply the food for all those orphanages. And so he said about that, he said, when he finished, his friend said to him, you seem to live from hand to mouth. George Mueller replied, yes, but it's my mouth and God's hand. Has God got enough to supply every need that you and I have? The simple answer is absolutely He does. There's not a problem that can happen to you, but God doesn't have the answer. The first place to turn when something happens you're not happy with, turn to the Lord. Ask Him, Lord, what's the lesson? Not why is this happening to me? Lord, what's the lesson you're trying to teach me? Help me to learn. And when you switch the focus from why me, what's wrong, why are you doing this to me, to Lord, I know you're up to something, and I know it's good. Help me trust you in this. Show me the next step, and He'll never let you down. We're going to sing number 309.